Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful Saturday. This is probably the happiest day. Saturday was the happiest day in football lore because everybody's team won. I heard the Volunteers of Tennessee screaming and the Dogs of Georgia. Elephants were screeching over in Alabama. But it's good to see all of you. I hope you had a good week. Hope this is going to be even a better week. And I planned on running in that road race tomorrow morning. And then I decided I wouldn't. I decided I needed to be here next Sunday. Okay. Well, our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Thinking about caring. Do we really care? And hopefully something said this morning will strike a nerve and it will remind us of the importance of caring. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That's radical. Very radical. Back when Sarah and I were younger, and our girls were still children, on a Friday night we would get ready to go out on the evening, maybe go out to dinner. If it was cold, we would put on our winter jackets and our hats, gloves, and Meredith and Michael would be watching us, and automatically they would say something like, "Where are y'all going?" We hadn't announced we were going anywhere. All we had done is put on our hats and coats, and when you gonna be back? Who's gonna take care of us? We haven't had dinner yet. I believe every parent has heard their children somewhere along the way say the same thing, "Where are you going?" Well, when you read the Gospel of Luke, and especially the book of Acts, you see the same thing. And no part of the Bible grapples with that quite as tenaciously as Luke does. Luke gets deeply involved with who Jesus is and what Jesus was all about. And then after the crucifixion and the resurrection, there's a strong sense in the Gospels that Jesus was going to leave them, but he certainly was going to come back. But the thing that this gospel makes very clear to us, and the book of Acts makes very clear as well, is that he sent the Holy Spirit to take care of us. And you can hear a lot of things about the Holy Spirit, but deep down inside, we need to understand that the biblical message of the Holy Spirit is that God is taking care of us. So the Holy Spirit is referred to and called the Comforter. And you know as well as I do that the only real comforter at a time when things are really tough in your life, when the wind is in your face, and when your heart has been ripped out, the only thing that can comfort you really is the comfort of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit is present, and he represents God when Jesus is away. Now we come to understand these things when we understand that the community of faith, the church of the New Testament, was a deeply caring community because of the presence of God in their lives. In fact, if there's anything we understand about the book of Acts, it is that they were a caring, caring community. Now, sometimes the church doesn't do a lot of things well. I don't mean to imply that we don't do things well, but sometimes we don't. And if you don't believe that, you know, pick up some of the letters that's been printed by journalists in the paper and some of the news things. You know, the Pope recently had something to say about this, about stuff going on in his own backyard. But there's one thing that the church does do well, and it was designed to do it, and that was to care for people. And when I was trying to get a hold of this idea of caring, I found that that was a hard thing to do. It's kind of like trying to gather up smoke. Almost can't be done. But the church cares, and it cares very well. Now, what in the world is caring? Think about that for a moment. You can give a lot of fancy definitions for caring, but there is one that really grabbed me, and that is caring is simply taking someone serious. When you take someone serious, you're caring. There are other definitions, such as being with one another in the world. You know, it knows about one another, but it's simply taking someone serious. And even that is kind of too light a definition. How many times have you heard someone say, well, he doesn't care? And what they really mean is, he doesn't take me seriously. How many times have you heard a husband and wife say, well, I don't care about him anymore, or I don't care about her anymore, and that means I've quit taking that individual seriously. Caring is taking another person seriously. My late father-in-law, Dr. Henry Crouch, I remember one time sharing with me about his church in Charlotte, Providence Baptist, going to Togo, Africa. And they had been there previously when he was on the board of directors for the Foreign Mission Board. And one of the things they realized in this area, they didn't have clean drinking water, and people were having to travel by foot 5, 6, 7 miles with a 5-gallon bucket to get clean water and have to come back home, and that's all they had for the day. So Henry and his members went in together and they bought a water well digging machine, a truck, and they had it shipped to Togo, Africa. And then men in his church paid their own ways, and they went to Africa and operated that machine, and they dug wells all in that area and gave them fresh running water. He said, what was so interesting, while they were digging wells, the witch doctor was dancing around casting a spell on them. He said, well, we got clean drinking water, and they were happy. But he said the people would always ask, how did y'all get over here? Who paid your way? Who bought this machine? And how did these other people get over here? And Henry would always tell them, they came because they cared, and they paid their own way. I don't know about what you call it in your house. Maybe it's a closet. Maybe it's a drawer. Maybe it's a certain area where you put gifts that people give you, gifts that sometimes don't suit your style, gifts sometimes that you really don't want to wear because you don't like it and look like it came from Goodwill maybe. But people give you these things. And I remember this lady in Little Washington gave me a tie, and it was kind of short, and it wasn't very pretty, and I didn't like it, but you know, I had this real strong sense she was waiting for me to wear it, and that was the last thing I wanted to do. But I had to remember, and this was another thing Sarah's great-grandfather, or her grandfather taught me, was always remember somebody cared enough to give it to you. And so I wore it that Sunday, and she told me that I looked like an angel. Well, that was the last time I wore it. Well, back in the early days of the church, they were having trouble dealing with all their sins. So they came up with the 7 deadly sins. And that's like the top 40 on the music chart. And one of those sins was called sloth. Sloth makes you feel bad just hearing it mentioned. You ought to try saying it from the pulpit. But sloth, it comes out funny. I always thought sloth was laziness. Let's not be slothful. Well, you know, I don't want to be slothful because it sounds kind of greasy and kind of squeaky. Kind of sounds like Play-Doh in the hands or a slinky going down the stairs. But sloth doesn't mean any of that. Sloth means not caring. It's just I don't care. And it's one of the 7 deadly sins. Now, I forgot who it was that discovered you could make a fortune being sick, but whoever it was, he wrote several books on it, and he said, when you get sick, the hospital is not the place to go for sick people. You got to be in good health to go to the hospital and survive. And he put a sign on his door in the hospital. He said, I'm tired of giving blood 5 times a day. I'm going to give it 1 time at 9 o'clock. So you nurses come at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to give it 1 time, and then y'all can divide it up among yourselves. And that's what he did. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. But he said, when you get sick, make sure, this is what he really said. He said, when you get sick, make sure you got a doctor that believes in you and cares about you and believes that you're going to get well. I mean, I never met one who didn't, but I got to thinking about that. That'd be a bad thing if your doctor didn't take you seriously and didn't believe you could get well or at least improve. I was visiting with my neighbor a couple of weeks ago over in Gray at the nursing home, and he was sitting there, and he was out of the bed in a wheelchair, and he's lost a lot of his strength. So, I mean, I was just sitting there making conversation with him. You know, how you doing? What's going on? How do you like it over here? And finally he said, you know, they practice medicine pretty good over here, and they feed you a decent meal. But he said, they just don't believe I'm a human being. They treat me like I'm just a side of beef on the bed. Well, I'm not sure how many would say the same thing. But what I really thought I heard him saying was, you know, they really don't say anything to me. They just come in and do what they have to do, and I don't feel like they're taking me seriously. And nobody wants to be taken for granted. I don't know about you, but some of our psychiatric clinic that I've read about teaches everybody from the custodians to the chairman of the board that all of them are a part of the healing process, and all of them are there to express care. You know, 40-something years ago, in 1982, I believe that's right, maybe it's a little more than 40, but a little less than 40, but the program Cheers came on TV, and you know, it's still being played. It's humorous, it's funny. Kind of like Andy Griffin. That was, gosh, almost 60 years ago. But Cheers, that theme song that always came up, you know, come to a place where everybody knows your name. I got to thinking about that, and what they're really saying is that Cheers is a place where they take me seriously. At least they know my name. Now, I've squeezed this, pushed it, turned it enough to get the idea that caring is important, not some kind of supplement at the end of life. You know, it's not excess baggage that you have to carry if you're nice. But if you think that you can go through life without caring, then you need to understand you're wrong, because you have to. And when Vineville Baptist Church stops caring for people, regardless of our situation, we've lost our sense of direction, and we've lost our sense of missions. Now, I realize we can't solve all the problems of hunger and race and economic problems. I know that, you know, we can't solve all that, but we can solve the problem of me, and you can solve the problem of you. And the problem of you is that you must care, and the problem of me is that I must care. Caring to the place that your heart is turned and your heart is twisted and your heart begins to break because you care. You see that kind of thing. Jesus said it brings life. Jesus said if you're going to find it, you better lose it. And the only way you can get it is to get rid of it. And if you want your life, then give it away. And if you want to keep your life, then get rid of it. It's a strange paradox. But it's what Jesus said to us. And how can we do this? Well, I told you earlier that the church does a few things well. But the other thing the church does well and has always done well, we do missions. Whether it's the bazaar sale or whether it's a consignment sale or whether it's a food line or a Thanksgiving dinner or whether it's a clothing closet, we are good at that because we know how to get involved with people. We know what people's needs are. We've got solutions to problems for things that we haven't even created yet. There are mission opportunities here all around us. We are a missionary people, and when we are doing missions, it says we care. I grew up in an era where every Christmas we had the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and the pastors would drive that to collect money for foreign missions. Then no sooner had we got that done, we had home missions. Annie Armstrong, we always used to say Annie for Annie and Little for Lottie. and we raise money for home missions. And today we have the global mission offering, we have the state mission offering, we have the hurricane disaster relief offering, and in any one of those, when we give to that, we're saying we care. We care about folks. We care about sailors who get off ships and come into the harbors. We want them to know the gospel. We set up mission points, our missionaries do, so that these sailors, or whether they're Marines or Army, Air Force, whatever, that if they don't know Christ, they have the opportunity to do know Christ. We care about unwed mothers, so we have homes for them. And we care about hungry people, so we have homeless shelters. And we care about Indians. We care about ethnic groups all over the country. We may not have a grand scheme that's turning the world upside down, but what we are doing is focusing on caring. And that's a lot more than what some people are doing. I'm not saying the scheme we have is not big enough. I'm simply saying, who knows the answer? Only God does, and He told us to care. We do it overseas, we do it here at home, and when we do it, life is better. Did you ever notice that the more the church cares for other people, the more God cares for the church? And the more the church cares about itself, the less it does for the church? The more you take care of number one, the worse your life is going to be. That's why we have offerings. That's why we encourage you to give to global missions, because we care. And I'll promise you, there'll be more life brought into your family and into your corporation because of your caring than any other thing you do in life. In the early church, the essence of that church was they really cared for one another. They sold what they had and gave it to a common cause so that everybody could have his or her needs met. I don't know whether that makes good politics, but it sure does make good caring. So Jesus said, if you want to die, just quit caring. If you want to live, then keep caring. Start caring. It may break your heart, but in breaking it, you'll get life again. Some time ago, I was attending a CBF Global Mission Conference, their annual meeting, and they have these breakout sessions, and different speakers come in, and one of those was a missionary who was serving in Liberia. He told us this story. They were having a discussion group. He was in this little prep school in Liberia, and they were having a discussion group with the students there. And one of the students, before I get there, let me just tell you that, you know, these students live in a country where they have one university and the government shut it down. So all they have left are a few Bible schools and a seminary as good as they can have in this little prep school. And one of the little boys said to the missionary, "Does anyone care about us?" And the missionary responded and said, "Yes, there are many people who care about you." Now, this was a teenage boy, very bright. Just because he lived in Liberia, just because his nation hadn't provided with a lot of things they needed, didn't mean he wasn't bright, smart, and intelligent. And he said, "Does anybody care about us?" So the missionary said, I was kind of taken back, but I answered his question. He said, "Absolutely, people care about you." He said, "The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship back in the States cares for you." And he said, "Well, who is that?" And, he, you know, in answering it, he said, "I realized that my answer sounded like I was telling him General Motors cares or the Internal Revenue Service cares. You know, it came across cold and impersonal." So he said, the little boy asked him again, who cares about us? And he said, "Well, there's 10,000 Baptist churches and 5 million Baptist people who care about you." But he said, even in that answer, that little boy didn't quite understand what he was saying. So he said he started naming churches in Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama. But he said, that boy just drilled me and drilled me. And he said, later, I couldn't get that question out of my mind. Is there anybody, are there really people back in the churches in the States that cares for me? And I remember I went back to Edenton that Sunday morning and I said, as your pastor, I'm saying to you, can I tell them that First Baptist Church of Edenton cares about him? This morning, can I say, does Vineville Baptist Church care about him? And does Vineville Baptist Church care about people? And can I give him permission to tell him that we care about people. Whether you're saying it to this boy sitting in the sun-baked, rain-washed schools in Africa, or whether you're in a district, a restaurant district in San Francisco, the real issue is, do you care? We mouth the words. But actions speak louder than words. We mouth the words, but we hold our lives back. We don't want to get our feet wet. We've got all the excuses in the world why we can't be a part of the family of God. We have all the excuses in the world why we can't be a part of the Vineville Baptist Church community. We have all the reasons in the world why, well, one day I'll become a Christian, but I've got to do a few other things. And oh yes, I do believe in missions, but I can't go overseas, and you know, I can't do mission work, so the only way I can do it is maybe by giving some money. So we give $10, wow. $15, well, that's tremendous. Or we might even give $20. Go to the gas station and fill up your car and tell me how much that costs. Or go to one of your local restaurants and tell me what you can get for $10. We went out to eat pizza the other night. It cost me $50 to get out of there. And we are not going back there again. I'm going to Domino's. I'm going to get a coupon. Listen, I cut through all the excuses. But you're not going to live until you care. Vineville Baptist Church, this world waits for our caring. Your life waits for our caring. And those of you who float on the edge, I want to say to you, you could not be in a better caring community than the Vineville Baptist Church community, because we care about people. Whether it's a mother with a newborn, or somebody who's gone through surgery, or somebody who's lost a loved one, or somebody who's just down on their luck, we care about you. I told a couple this week who've been battered a little bit, I said, you know, this may not sound like good theology, but it's real. And I said, why don't you come to Vineville Baptist Church and just let them wrap their arms around you, because they will care for you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heavenly Father, we gathered to worship this morning. Songs have been sung, the message has been proclaimed, and now it's time for response. And we ask that we respond to your will and your way in our lives by either church membership, profession of faith, statement of faith, whatever it may be. We want to say yes to your Son, Jesus Christ, who said yes to the old rugged cross. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 267, Blessed Be the Tie. Let's stand together and let's sing.